In this series on Revive Our Hearts, we're exploring many biblical passages on hospitality. Now, in the process of working on this material, our team met a woman who loves putting these biblical concepts into action.
If you want to host a party, our house is open.
This is Stacy Holden.
And so we have done anything you can imagine. We've had driveway concerts. We have every January a party for the blind athletes who run in the Houston Marathon, and they have guides and host homes, and we have about 100 people who come to our driveway. We've had a huge surprise birthday party for a man's 40th birthday. We had a rock wall and a jumpy that we rented for that and had about 100 people for that party.
Now, these are more than just fun events. Stacy and her family want to share the heart of Jesus with their neighbors, including new neighbors who've been through unimaginable struggles.
We hosted recently a Thanksgiving lunch for about 40 Afghan ladies, and they filled our living room here, so that was beautiful.
Welcome to the Revive Our Hearts podcast for April 11th, 2024. I'm Dana Gresh. Our host is the co-author of You Can Trust God to Write Your Story, Nancy DeMoss-Walgamuth.
Most of us remember seeing the evacuation of Kabul, Afghanistan, in 2022. Over 5,000 of those refugees settled in the Houston, Texas area, and many churches jumped into action to provide for people who arrived with nothing. For Stacy Holden, the events of 2022 aren't just a sad news story. She knows the faces, the names, and the stories of individual people. Some of them have become like family to her. We're about to get to know Stacy as part of a series called You're Welcome Here. We've been exploring biblical hospitality. Aaron Davis led a team to turn this teaching series into a study also called You're Welcome Here. And Aaron visited women in various parts of the country for a video series that goes along with the study. Aaron met Stacy Holden and her family as part of that process, and she's here today to tell us the story. I know you're going to be encouraged about how the Lord is at work in Houston, and I hope you're going to be challenged to let Him show His love through you in your community. Here's Aaron.
Romans 12 tells us to pursue hospitality. Of all the commands in Scripture, does that one, pursue hospitality, does it really matter? I mean, how does it compare with the other commands like go into all the world and preach the gospel? I'm Erin Davis, about to embark on a journey because I want to see for myself. How are women learning how to live out this command? How are they showing hospitality? First stop, Houston, where an international tragedy has come to one family's backyard.
People walk in my home, I would love for them to just feel the love that Jesus had for the people who He was with. I want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and so I want them to be relaxed. I want them to use my home like they would use their own home and just feel very loved and very welcome when they come in.
When your hurt's too much to I know how to weep with those who weep.
Houston bound.
Laugh and laugh and cry a tear. Say yes to trust and no to fear. Do you know you're welcome here with me?
When nations are coming right to your neighborhood, maybe your home can be a place to preach the gospel to all the world.
Laugh and laugh and cry a tear. Say yes to trust and no to fear. Do you know you're welcome here with me? Do you know you're welcome?
We have a two-story home, technically, that is a little over 100 years old. It's a Victorian home, about 5 years ago, my husband and my daughters closed in part of our attic and made it a clubhouse. And so now we kind of have a three-story home. And so we started saying, if you ever need someone to watch your kids, we want to be the family that you do not have. Most people don't have family that's close. Most of them, or several of them, have family across the country. And so we just said, this is something that we have really appreciated and really used, and we want to be that for other people. So almost immediately we started having couples ask us to keep their kids, and that's been for a date night all the way up to a month. We've kept two kids for a month. And so we're happy to do that, and a ministry that not just I and my husband have offered to people, but our girls have absolutely been involved in it as well. So we definitely have wanted this home to be the one where the kids want to come, not just our daughter's friends, but also other people's kids.
Stacy and her family got a unique opportunity to put their love for hospitality on display when their small group started serving Afghan refugees. After the Taliban took control of Afghanistan in 2022, over 5,000 refugees landed in the Houston area. Stacy and her family have helped hundreds of Afghans adjust to life in the United States.
So we started in 2020 going to an apartment complex and doing church in the courtyard. 2022, we started going to two different complexes, and they're filled with Afghans. When the Afghans first came to Houston, it was things like getting furniture and helping get food stamps, filling out the forms for food stamps. They quickly asked me to help them set up bank accounts. I've helped hundreds of kids sign up for school or enroll in school, made doctor's appointments and taken some to the doctor as needed. I have made phone calls and sat on hold for hours and hours and hours to try and help them with conversations. It's just everything. The goal is to build relationships, and I have had a few ladies who have asked me to help them find jobs. A few families that say, can you come to my apartment and let us cook for you? So just to develop the friendships and to find ways to love on them and to be part of their lives and hopefully eventually share the gospel, but also just to let them know that we love them and they're welcome and that we want to be part of their lives. We have had the opportunity to share the good news and see a couple come to faith in Christ. There's several who I feel like are very close, and I am just every morning praying for salvation and revival in the Afghan community, that they would know the only hope and the only freedom, the true freedom that comes through faith in Jesus. Hi, Hodger. Good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm just telling you, we're just now leaving the house, so I'll be there in about 15 minutes.
Stacy and I are on our way to meet a young woman named Hodger.
All right, I love you. I'll see you in about 15 minutes.
She fled Afghanistan in her teens.
Okay.
And now she comes to Stacy's house a couple of times a week to spend time with the family, to cook, and even to do her laundry.
Over the years, as our home has been a place of hospitality, I just, in the last 6 months now, have come to have this understanding that even my washer and dryer can be used for God.
Yeah.
And so, started in the beginning, Hodger bringing her laundry over to do it, and I'd say, just bring your laundry and we'll, you know, sit or go do something or, you know, whatever you want while we're doing your laundry. And so Hodger started telling other people that she was doing her laundry at my house. And so now we have a few families who bring their laundry once a month or so, just
wow.
Depends. So even a washer and dryer can be used to love others.
Yeah.
Hodger is pretty extraordinary.
Did she speak any English before she came?
Zero. And actually,
wow.
Practically zero when I met her in September.
Wow.
Back in Afghanistan, Hodger taught herself to read, even though the Taliban didn't allow her to go to school. And then, in her teens, she started teaching other women to read. I couldn't wait to meet her.
Hi, Hodger.
You look beautiful.
You do look beautiful. My name's Erin. So nice to meet you.
Over and over, I think about the individuals who I have met and what they have gone through to get here. Most of them were ripped out of their country. Many of them were very successful in their country, had very important jobs, and they were shoved on a plane like cattle, brought to America, dropped off, didn't speak the language, didn't have anything except the shirts on their backs, and told, go for it. And so I think, what if that was me? Or even worse, what if that was my daughters? I know several people who came to America as teenagers or in their early 20s, all alone, no family, and they were running for their lives. But then they get here and they don't know anyone, they don't have anything. And so I constantly think, what if that was me, or what if that was my girls? I would pray and I would hope that God would send someone to love on my girls or to help me. I have a strong connection to Hajar just because she's precious and I love her. But she's also 6 days older than my oldest daughter. And so I absolutely cannot imagine my oldest daughter going to another country and having to learn how to survive on her own. And so I just feel a strong tug in my heart when I see her and when I talk to her, to think she's a friend. I call her a friend, but she's also like my daughter, and I want to love her just like I do my own daughter.
How often would you say you come to Miss Stacy's house?
Every week, yeah.
Yeah, so you're comfortable here.
Yeah, it's after 2 days, I'm so missing Stacy. No. Oh.
She knows my kitchen as well as I do, and even if she comes to my house and the dishwasher is full of clean dishes, she will be putting my dishes up for me, and is just very at home. Amazing. In our home, and very welcome. We love having you.
Thank you.
For lunch, Hajar's going to show Stacy and me how to make an Afghan dish called kofta.
I can't wait. You put me to work. I can chop, I can grill, whatever you tell me, but you're in charge.
Okay.
While beginning to chop onions, Hajar told me she used to make kofta with her mom and with their extended family. Every Friday, the women of the family would have a big party. They would get together to cook and wash clothes.
My mom is just there cooking and washing the clothes and talk with my cousin. Is a lot of work.
Yeah.
When Hajar was 5 years old, she was playing on a hill in the outskirts of Kabul and picked up a bomb that had been left there and lost her hand. Right now, Hajar has a new job in housekeeping for a hotel, and she has shined brightly in that job. She's absolutely capable of doing everything that everyone else is doing. She's had to make a few adjustments, like pushing the cart is very heavy and not easy for anyone, but especially for someone who only has one hand. However, she's done great and has not had any problems.
What are some of the things you miss about home?
I left everything.
What did you bring with you?
I have one shoes.
One pair of shoes?
No. Yeah. Not one pair of shoes.
Yeah.
One shoe.
One shoe. Yeah. This is at the airport in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Your whole family was fleeing. You couldn't speak English. You had one shoe.
Yeah. Someone had stepped on her other shoe and it had fallen off.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So from the time she left Afghanistan, I think around August 20th, until she came to America, August 25th, she said it was almost a week before she ever got a pair of shoes. And so for that 5 or 6 days that she was coming to America, she walked around with one shoe on.
Losing a shoe was difficult, but Hajar experienced far greater losses than that.
She lost her father to cancer when she was around 10 years old. And then during the evacuation, she and her siblings and her mom were rushing to the airport to try and flee the Taliban. I have heard estimates that there were over 1 million people just pressing and crushing into the airport trying to be allowed to flee. And in that experience, her mom tripped and fell and was trampled to death. And so she has a very sad story with that, and had just lost her mom and then had to get on a plane and come to America sitting on this cargo plane, sitting on the floor of a cargo plane, completely by herself, with having just lost her sweet mom. I don't feel like I replace her mom by any means, but I want to love her as if she was my daughter, just because I know there is a hole in her heart from the loss of her mom. And I can never completely fill that, but I want to love her as well as I can. I have had many conversations with people who say, they're Muslim, but they say, we know you're going to heaven because you're so good. And I have over and over and over said, if you only knew me, if you knew the sin, you see what I'm doing, you see all the good I'm doing, but my thoughts are terrible so often. The words, I regret some words I've said. And so even though I'm helping so many people, I still need Jesus. I still need a savior. I still have sin. And one sin separates you from God. One sin, not, you know, 1,000 sins compared to 500 good deeds. It's one sin separates you from God, and I need Jesus as much as you do.
I know you have traveled far, so bring your hurts and bring your scars. My table's open, come and have a seat. Laugh a laugh and cry a tear. Say yes to trust and no to fear. Do you know you're welcome here with me?
This is so yummy.
It's so good. No one expects perfection.
Mm. Yeah.
Everyone is always so gracious when it comes to coming to your home. Mm. They're happy to be in your home. Doesn't matter if it's a feast or if it's just tea. And so if anyone has the desire to want to invite people to their home but doesn't know how, it's just start asking. I've heard people say that if they go to church, sometimes they'll ask one person every week, do you want to come to my home for lunch? Mm. I've had many Afghans say they've never been to an American home. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of sad. So for sure, if you have a relationship with someone who's not from America, it's wonderful to just say, come to my home and let's just be together. And it's okay to order pizza. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate or expensive. It just can be very, very simple.
I mean, you and I are best friends now. We just bonded over food.
Jesus tells us to love our neighbor, and then in John, 1 John, we see this is how we know what love is. So he explains, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And then he says, if you see anyone in need and you have something, but you have no pity on them, how can the love of God be in you? And then he says, let's not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. And then later on he says, since God loves us, we ought to love other people. So in reading and reading and reading 1 John, just studying, what is love? What is love? That Jesus laid down his life for us and we are called to do the same. That is love. Jesus' sacrificial love is the same love that we're supposed to show. And because he loved us when we didn't deserve it, we also should love other people.
The sweet family that I have has been so, just so gracious to me They have been so patient and so good and so loving, and there's no way I could have done half of this without their support and without their easygoing, just sweet group that we are to be able to love people well. Not just me by myself, but all five of us have been able to do so much because of the sweetheart that my whole family has. When I was working for the government and when I was doing all the things that would call someone successful in the typical American eyes, it was fun. I enjoyed the work, but I have felt like there is a greater purpose I'm fulfilling by doing the free volunteer work that I do. And I feel like at this point I can never go back to doing anything that's not with such a passion that I've fulfilled a role that is a gap that needed to be filled. And I just see how over and over God has used this, the skills that I have, to be able to love people. I'm great at spreadsheets and I'm great at writing stories. I wrote hundreds of stories for people who are applying for asylum. They had to tell their stories of why they felt like they would be killed by the Taliban if they returned to Afghanistan. And so all my experience writing a book and writing people's stories just was perfect preparation. So I have absolutely seen God use my experience and the professional work that I have done to put me in this place for such a time as this. You have what it takes to help people, and you have what it takes to have people in your home. God has equipped everybody to love people well. You just have to do it. You have to take the step of obedience and do what God very clearly in the Bible tells us to do, to practice hospitality, to love your neighbor, and He will give you the ability to do that well when you step out.
Psalm 146 tells us that the Lord protects resident aliens and helps the fatherless and the widow. Wow, it's been so exciting to hear some of the ways that the Lord is bringing that verse to life in the Houston area. As Stacy Holden just said, the Lord can use you to love your neighbors. Maybe your city hasn't received an influx of refugees, but there are still needs all around you. Would you ask the Lord to open your eyes and to fill you with His love, and to let that love spill over to others? Here's one way to grow in your love for other people. Get a copy of the new Bible study from Revive Our Hearts called You're Welcome Here. It's a 6-week study that'll help you take a deep dive into what the Bible says about hospitality. This would be a great study for your small group. Our team has made 6 videos, one to go with each week of the study. So you and your friends can go through the study individually and then come together to watch the videos and discuss the content. And I hope you'll watch the video featuring Stacy Holden. You'll watch Hajar and Aaron Davis cook an Afghan meal together. And you'll catch a vision for the power of opening your home to help build God's kingdom. You can watch the video by visiting reviveourhearts.com. And when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any amount, we'll send you the new Bible study, You're Welcome Here. Your gift will help Revive Our Hearts continue practical teaching like this series on hospitality. And you'll help us keep telling stories that put biblical truth on display. The radio program, the podcast, the videos, the Bible studies, they're all possible thanks to the support of listeners like you. I want to share with you that in the months since last fall, donations to this ministry have been considerably lower than what we had hoped and planned. So we're trusting the Lord with some significant needs at this time. Would you ask Him whether He'd want you to be a part of helping to meet those needs? Again, when you donate any amount at reviveourhearts.com, you can request your copy of the study, You're Welcome Here, and we'll send it as our gift, our way of saying thank you. Again, you can visit us online or you can call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Well, I hope you'll make sure to be in church this weekend and be on the lookout for someone who may need your hospitality. then be sure to join us again on Monday. You'll discover how to slow down for the sake of loving others. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts.
This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.